Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Canes, Bruins for the first of three times this year. They will go at it tonight. It is a nationally televised game, but you can still hear Mike Maniscalco and the one and only Tripp Tracy, who joins us on the Adam Gold Show, if you listen to the radio. And then you also get me in between periods. And who knows, maybe even a little cross conversation that has been known to happen. Tripp Tracy joins us from Boston. It's a big stretch. Not only the Bruins tonight, but the Devils tomorrow. Not that you want to think about both games, because you can't. But this is an important stretch for Carolina. And it appears we're going to see Spencer Martin make his Hurricanes debut. Thoughts?
Well, AG, great to be with you as always. If I were to, I wouldn't have batted an eyelash in a back-to-back, whichever way Rod goes in that. But if I had a choice, I'd go with Martin in this one. You know, because this is, I mean, the Bruins have been clicking on all cylinders like they have been in the last several regular seasons. So, you know, they're going to need a performance tonight, but in the back of your head, you've got a divisional game, your first divisional matchup with the New Jersey Devils waiting for you tomorrow night.
Yep.
Ronta wasn't as good Sunday against the Minnesota Wild in a stinging loss. Probably a game where Carolina would have won on a lot of nights. There were some things that, you know, I could point to, but their effort was certainly very good. So, you know, for this back-to-back, I probably would go Martin and then Ronta with the comforts of home for Auntie Ronta. Either way, you're going to need solid goaltending on both nights to be able to come out of these two games with points and then the Coyotes on Saturday night, because that was a missed opportunity on Sunday against Minnesota.
Oh, especially in the first period when you outscore a team 18-3. Not to give Auntie Ronta a pass on the three goals he allowed. But I don't know that I fault him. I mean, you know better than I, but I don't know that I fault him on any of the three, especially with Carolina really being in position to make defensive plays, certainly on the first and third goals, and being unwilling or unable to do so. What is Dmitry Orlov doing other than marking Kirill Kaprizov right behind him?
Yeah, I would respond to that by saying, and I'll start in front of Ronta. You know, you have that big moment for Orlov offensively.
Great
that
play.
You hope it's going to be a big moment for him, period. With Nason reloading in the neutral zone, and because of that, being able to aggressively hold the offensive blue line, keeping a puck in with his leg, and leading to a beautiful goal that Nate just scores. And, you know, not so long after, I mean, Kirill Kaprizov, board battle, Kaprizov and company, they win it. They get it back to Goligoski, and he took a breath. I mean, he lost the box out, you know, and I could live with it if Kaprizov is boxed out, meaning that Orlov is between Kirill Kaprizov and the Carolina net. If he makes a heck of a redirection, you just tip your cap. But that's where Orlov could have been more physical.
Yeah.
He especially with Kaprizov on the ice, you can't take a breath. The second goal, as great as Slavin has been this year, I think there's room for him to be more physical in boxing out with a purpose, Eriksson Ek.
Yep.
And the third goal, you know, was some type of a combination of a switch off. You lose a battle below the goal line where you had numbers. You had three players, the Minnesota's two. Faber, the defenseman, had jumped in. You lose that battle, which would have been a chance to clear the puck, and then all of a sudden you don't have a sort out, for me in particular, between Kokiniemi and Orlov. So those are mistakes that get magnified when you run into a hot goaltender and you lose the game that otherwise wouldn't be magnified. In terms of the goaltending position, I wouldn't point to Antti for any of those three goals, but what I would say is if you have a locked-in number one goaltender, I think I feel pretty comfortable in saying you're at least getting to overtime at 2-2 and possibly even winning the game 2-1. But in terms of job responsibility, I don't look and say, well, the goaltender's got to have that. I just think somewhere in there you probably needed a save.
Yeah, no, that the third one, you know, because it wasn't necessarily a great shot. It was basically forced through by Joel Eriksson Ek, and that's the second goal was a deflection and a great screen. But, yeah, Slavin does lose the physical battle with Joel Eriksson Ek. I thought Minnesota's two best players, Ek and Kaprizov, they were the stories of the game, unfortunately, for Carolina. But another story is the absence of Andrei Svechnikov. This is now, we started the season without him. They played, I think, the first eight without him. Then he missed a handful of games in the middle. I missed one for illness, but he missed a handful of games in the middle with an upper body injury. Now he's going to miss, my guess is, four straight, because I can't imagine if he didn't practice yesterday, he's not going to play tomorrow. And I think they'll probably hold him out through the Arizona game on Saturday. But they are a different team without Andrei Svechnikov, which says a lot about the way Svech has grown as a player. But how do they overcome that?
I'll repeat what I mentioned, partner, in the Minnesota game, where you did enough to win. But another capacity crowd, I noticed Svechnikov's significant absence in a couple of different areas. Because Minnesota was stingy, and I thought more physical in both slots, Carolina missed his physical presence. And because of that, I thought there were stretches in the game where the building was pretty quiet, where the fans were itching to get themselves involved. And I'm sitting there in the booth, and I'm like, yeah, you really, this is where you miss Svechnikov, but you need that physicality. Again, a good effort, but you need that physicality. And then on the power play, I know Rod liked the power play, and I'm not disagreeing with that, but I did think that the power play fell back into being perimeter-based, not establishing the shot. You know, with Andre, there was all sorts of motion, and we didn't see these power play sets where you were limited to the exterior of the rink. So for me, I from a physical standpoint and on that first unit power play, I did notice a difference. And so what does that mean? That means as a group in an extremely tough building with the moms here on the trip, that you're going to have to step up individually, therefore collectively, physically. And if the power play groupings remain the same, this is a huge game for Teuvo Teravainen, because you lose a lefty in Svechnikov, different type of lefty in Teravainen, but he's going to have a really good night. And I think for him on the power play, he's got to be part of a power play, especially early on, that has to have a willingness to shoot the puck, because that breaks down the penalty killers and you lose that perimeter theme that I thought was there at times against the Wild.
I thought the first power play and the first half, well, the minute or so of the power play, the second one that they had, I thought both of those created opportunities. I thought the others were, for all of the zone time, incredibly stagnant and just passing the puck around without doing much with it. They thought they wasted zone time in the second, and Michael Bunning takes a penalty you can't take to negate, which led to the second goal, right? Yeah. Because it happened right after. A smart man once told me that the power play really doesn't end until you get a whistle. I don't remember who that was. I think his name was Trip Tracy. All right, let's get to a couple of other things. We have some guys that are really trying to find their way right now, and Carolina's, I mean, one of their weapons is their depth and their sameness across four lines. But it's been a long time for Jesperi Kotkaniemi to be on the score sheet. It's been a long. I mean, I know Bunting scored the other game, but I think it's been a while since Michael has played really good hockey, certainly at 5-on-5. How does Rod get these guys going?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, I'll start with Kokiniemi, because here's a big guy that can be physical. We just mentioned physicality. That's a controllable. Now, you don't want to do it to get yourself out of position, but that's something when he has been rolling, which he was at this time last year, leading up to the outdoor game,
right,
the Stadium Series affair. I thought it's when he played his best hockey as a Hurricane. And part of that is that he was very physical. He was also defensively very trustworthy. And, I mean, you look at the two games that they lost in regulation on the six-game homestand, when teams scored those big third-period goals, he was on the ice. I mean, he was the centerman, whether it's he or Orlov on the game-winning goal from Eriksson Ek. Justin Williams night when the LA Kings scored those two goals in rapid succession after Danault scored the go-ahead goal at the conclusion of a power play where you're looking for that next whistle that you mentioned. So if it's not going in for him offensively, he definitely has to be reliable defensively. So that's one area for him. And then I thought you had two really good chances in front to tie the hockey game, and Gustafson made two great saves. But prior to that, right at the end of the power play, Kokiniemi had a chance somewhere between the tops of the circles and the offensive blue line, and he can fire the puck. If he would just wrist it, he's got all sorts of net front, and he hesitated. He took a breath, and that allowed Minnesota to block it. No hesitation when he shoots the puck, however he delivers his shooting attempt, and being more physical and earning through hard work and no loss of focus whatsoever. Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it defensively. That, for me, is what gets Kokiniemi back on track, and do they ever need that badly? And for Bunting, I just look at Sunday's game as an incomplete performance. There was plenty to the good. He scored a goal scorer's goal when he created a neutral zone turnover to tie the game at two. Mm-hmm. But right when he had a lot of momentum, I agree with you, in the first power play and himself centrally included on that power play in the second period before he took an unnecessary penalty. That was really a significant change in the momentum of not just the period, but the hockey game. And he has a terrific opportunity, assuming the lines are going to be the same, playing with Sebastian Aho. He's got to grab that opportunity, and he's got to be part of a power play group that, for the most part, has been ridiculously good, certainly among the top contenders of power play conversions in the NHL, that I don't see any way that they win the hockey game tonight if that power play isn't going, and he's a big part of that.
He is. All right, let's close on, I mean, I know without Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, I assumed that Boston would not be as good. That's what happens when you assume. David Pastrnak is still out here doing his thing, but that is a team that just does not miss a beat. I mean, the word culture is sometimes overused, but I don't know what else it is other than they still have good players, and this is what they do.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said. Why? I think Jim Montgomery is a very good coach.
Yeah.
But their excellence certainly goes long before Jim Montgomery, and Bruce Cassidy is a very good coach. And it looks for the most part the same every night. So they've been fortunate enough to have and locate very good goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a group of underrated defensemen. You know, I'll just mention a couple, whether it be McAvoy, whether it be Hampus, Lindholm, Carl. Big defensive group that can skate. And then up front, they have game breakers that never seem to get satisfied and play the game the correct way. Pastrnak.
Yeah.
He could have had a little bit of lackadaisical play this year. He just signed an unbelievably lucrative 8-year deal during the course of last season. No, that just makes him more determined. Brad Marchand, more determined with the retirement of Patrice Bergeron. They have some, I think, underrated depth up front, But they don't lose that star matchup on many nights, do they?
No.
You know, they have that defensive foundation and goaltending, well-coached, as I mentioned, but not on a lot of nights are they going to lose the matchup of your top players. And when you have all of those ingredients, you just replicate the fact that, you know, they're challenging for the league's best record once again this year. And I know it's, at least for me, I think it's an outstanding Carolina that's playoff-driven, but you can't help but admire what Boston's been able to do.
All right, so back-to-back at Boston and then tomorrow at home against New Jersey. I'll see you on the fifth floor in a little bit.
You got it, AG. Hopefully it's after 2 points on the road.
Absolutely. All right, Tripp, we'll be listening. I'll talk to you in a little while.
You got it. See ya.
Tripp Tracy here on the Adam Gold Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.